I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you, dear Lord God, on today for just another day that you have made. Another opportunity, Lord God, where we can lift up our hearts and lift up our voice and lift up our mind towards the heaven and give you the praise that you so rightfully deserve. Dear Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, for all of your love, kindness, and tender mercies that you have shown us one more time. We pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would have your way on today. Lord God, move how you want to move. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you look upon your people everywhere. For Lord God, people are in need of strength, of health, and guidance. And we know, Lord God, that you are in control. And I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would meet the needs of your people. Lord God, touch hearts and minds everywhere. Lord God, renew minds everywhere. Lord God, strengthen your people everywhere. Lord God, I pray that they will look to you in hope everywhere. And know, Lord God, that it may be hard sometimes to digest the things that we are seeing today. It may be hard for us to process the evil in this world, but God, you are in control. And I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would give help to the helpless. Lord God, give hope to the hopeless and help them, Lord God, to see their way through, Lord God, even these times of trouble. And Lord God, I just pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you bind the enemy on every hand. Curse the very root of evil. And Lord God, hear the cries of your people and deliver them, Lord God, those that seek your face. For we know, Lord God, that you will not fail, Lord God, as the arms of flesh, Lord God, because your arms are much stronger. And Lord God, when we are weak, thou art strong. And Lord God, we bless your holy name on today. And I pray, Lord God, as we move forward in the word, Lord God, that you will speak to the hearts and speak to the minds of your people. And Lord God, I pray, Father in heaven, Lord God, let this be a life-changing word. A word, Lord God, that will cause someone to consider their ways. A word, Lord God, that will cause hearts and minds to turn towards you. Because we know that we are living in the end times. And Lord God, you are our only hope. And Lord God, I bless your holy name on today, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I say amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. And as we like to say, amen, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. This is a beautiful day, and just certainly thank God for his mercies. Amen. His loving kindness, amen, that he show us each and every day. And we can truly say that God has been faithful towards each and every one of us. Even when we are faithless, even when, you know, we drift like wood, glory to God, we can say that He never changes. He's an immutable God. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank God, amen, for His Son, Jesus Christ, who makes it possible every day, praise God, to be renewed in our hearts and our minds, and, you know, just to rededicate ourselves, even when we fall short. I praise God, amen, that His Son, Jesus, made it possible for us to always make our way back into God's good graces. Amen. Because we do fall short every day, saints of God. Amen. We're not altogether lovely. Amen. But I thank God for the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary Cross for us. Because without the shedding of His blood, there would be no remission for our sins. Amen. So we could say that we are forgiven today. Amen. And that's something, amen, that we can rejoice in each and every day that we wake up. Glory to God. And I certainly give God the praise, amen, because I know that He's been long suffering towards me. Amen. And I know that that's not my own only testimony, praise God, but I look back over my life and I just think about, you know, the state that I was in when He found me, you know. And many of us can say, you know, we were messed up, you know, but I thank God that He can take a mess and turn it into a message. Amen. Praise God. And we all have our individual testimonies. And let's not forget how gracious the Lord has been towards us. Amen. Our lesson text will be found in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And the subject matter, or the central theme of this lesson, is the lukewarm church. Now, in the book of Revelation, starting at the beginning of chapter 2 through the end of chapter 3, are found seven messages to seven different churches. Some theologians deduce that they are descriptive or prophetic outlines of the spiritual history of the church from the time when John wrote the book in AD 96 down to the taking out of the church. But we also ascertain from John's writings that the seven churches were in fact literal churches that were actually addressed. Each message describes the actual condition of those churches in John's day. John wrote in Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of the Lord and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. If we consider the condition of these churches, we find that Ephesus was a backslidden church, Smyrna was a persecuted church, Pergamos was a licentious church, or a church that lacked moral restraints, or guilty of treating God's grace as if it were a license to sin. Thyatira was a lax church. Sardis was a dead church. Philadelphia was a favored church. And Laodicea was a lukewarm church. Although these letters were addressed to actual churches in the apostles' time, we must also consider that there are more than one application. The churches were given in the order name because the peculiar characteristics of that church applies to the period of church history to which it is assigned. It is also obvious in this present day that all of the distinct characteristics of these churches did not disappear. Every single one of them are visible in this age and will continue until it ends with open apostasy. So the messages goes beyond the local assemblies mentioned. It contains an exact foreview of the spiritual history of the church, and in this precise order, starting with the backslidden church and ending with a lukewarm church. As we look further into the church of Laodicea and where it is chronologically placed in church history, it represents the final state of apostasy. The characteristics of this church, as mentioned, was that it was lukewarm. When we consider what constitutes a lukewarm church, it can be described as a church that lacks conviction or serve God half-heartedly. At the onset of the message to Laodicea, found in Revelation chapter 14, it reads, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." If you think about, the reason why anyone would spit something out of their mouth is only if they found it to be unpleasant or distasteful. The Lord took no pleasure in this church because of their neutrality. This was a church that made no real commitment to God and were borderlined. They were reminiscent of the 450 prophets of Baal, whom Elijah challenged, and he asked, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him." When any man comes to Christ, he is expected to choose sides. We are either for him or against him. We either love him or hate him. And as Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. There are two kinds of Christians. And number one is the kind that have a profession only. And two, the one that have a profession and also have a lifestyle to back it up. If all you have is a profession and no real commitment, this is the ideology that the Lord rejects. Some people think that they can put all kinds of mess on a plate and serve it to God. But if he finds what you are serving him is sickening, the Lord will not digest it. But as stated in the analogy given, he will spew it out of his mouth. It is important to understand that every church that puts itself under the umbrella of Christianity may not be an example of pure and undefiled religion. Some take pride in the sizes of their congregations or how much revenue their ministry generates. But it all comes down to one thing with God and one question that you need to consider. Does your ways please God? The Laodicean church represents those who think very highly of themselves, or the Christian whose money is their defense, and they have no sense of need. We find that there are people who are outwardly prosperous, but they have no spiritual connection to God. This was a wealthy church, and although they were abundant in material possessions, they failed to realize that if you are not rich towards God, then you are poor. John wrote in verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And this gives us to know that in Christendom, there are conceited, self-deceptive, and delusive, delusional people that do not know their true state. If we consider the rich in this world, the Bezos, the Elon Musk, and people of the same caliber, though they be rich and increased with goods, yet they are blind and cannot see their way, do not know the way, nor do they make provisions for their soul. As Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12, "For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. All the money in the world cannot redeem a man's soul." Solomon also wrote in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death." Sometimes people replace God with other things to the point that he is completely excluded from their lives. And the more you embrace worldliness, the more distant from God you will become. The problem with the Laodicean church is that they had become lukewarm and useless. This was a Christless church, and even though they claim to have it all together, the Spirit of the Lord was not there. And some of you may have experienced for yourselves while attending certain churches that was activity packed, or they had a set weekly agenda, that everything was on the agenda except God. Sometimes ministries can advertently or inadvertently program God out of the church. And when they don't give vent to the Spirit of God, it is easy for, as I say, you know, him to be programmed out of the church. Or if God was never the builder or the architect of the church. Then it explains why his spirit was never there in the first place. The scripture says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Some may have the ability to build basilicas or cathedrals, but if the spirit of the Lord is not there, all you have is a building and not a sanctuary. A sanctuary is where God will make his abode and visit his people. What is the point, saints of God, of having a big, beautiful place to look at, but never see the glory of the Lord in the place? Spiritual leaders who are called into ministry should lean towards setting up a sanctuary, a place that the Lord will sanctify and identify as a place where he can visit. I would want to hear the Lord say the same words that he spoke to Solomon. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. This would be more satisfying than to dwell in a big, beautiful place that is destitute of the Spirit of God. Amen. Getting back to our lesson text, in Revelation chapter 3, it shows a spiritual decline of the professing church. It becomes less about disseminating the gospel for world conversion and more about increasing wealth. So, where does Jesus find himself? He finds himself excluded and standing on the outside of a place where he once stood. This people drew nigh unto him with their mouth and honored him with their lips, but their heart was far from him. He stands on the outside, knocking for admittance, and patiently waited for the door to be open so that he could come in. In Revelation chapter 3, chapter 20, verse 23, Jesus declared, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." It is clear that he is not addressing the believing kind, but he is addressing the church, those who once accepted the gospel and now very distant from him. They continue to worship him, sing praises, and engage in all matter of Christian service, yet blind to the fact that Jesus had withdrew himself from them. Despite their condition, Christ ever so graciously approaches the doors of their heart. He draws near to them in a way of mercy, giving them an opportunity to open up their heart to him so that he could return. This gives us to know that a lukewarm church can be useful again only if they are willing to repent and remove every obstacle that stands between them and God. The application for the churches of this generation is simple. The Laodicean attitude exists in this period of church history. And seemingly, saints everywhere are not on fire as they used to be. The zeal that they once had is no longer there, and they are satisfied with complacency and serving God half-heartedly. But Jesus is not satisfied. He wants to occupy a place in your heart again. He wants to see your passion renewed and the excitement that you once had restored. The scripture makes it plain that the Lord considers those who straddle the fence or willfully play both sides distasteful. And if you are neither cold nor hot, then how can he trust you? And how can he ever use you? People of God, it is time to draw close to the Lord. We have endured much over the past several years, but it is not impossible to regroup and begin again. Shutting Jesus out is not the answer. Turning to the world is not the answer. But seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Whomever the Lord or this message is for on today, whoever the Lord is speaking to on today, if your objective is to be saved from hellfire, this is your moment to turn. And as the scripture says, be zealous, therefore, and repent while Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. Open the door and let him in. So, in conclusion, as saints, we can sometime drift in directions that moves us further away from God and cause us to end up in a lukewarm, faithless, and Christless state. Many of us have been saved a long time, and in between the time of accepting Christ until now, have not always maintained consistency. Some of us are just going through the motions without sincerity, and have not come to terms that the Lord withdrew his spirit from us a long time ago. But the God of all grace is yet extending a hand of mercy. The only action required on your part is to open the door and just let him in. It's time to return, y'all. And as the scripture say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. I pray that you have heard and received. It's time to come back into God's good graces. We still have a work to do. Our day is not done. And while it is said today, while you have today, hear the word of the Lord. and don't be found in a lukewarm state. Amen, amen, and amen.